In 49 other states, football is just a game. But this is Wisconsin.
The Green Bay Packers have won the Super Bowl. The Lombardi Trophy is coming home.
Wisconsin fans demand the best. The best analysis. The best interviews. The best coverage. And no one delivers like the Bill Michaels Huddle.
Welcome back. Second hour of the Bill Michaels Huddle. We are broadcasting live out here at Highway 100 in Greenfield. Kyle Paragon is here. So we are glad that you are here tonight as well. Good crowd. It's been filling in all throughout the evening. They have dart leagues out here tonight. So come on by. They have terrific food. They've got drink specials. This place is huge. It's like walking into a cabin up north. But they've got games on everywhere. And if you want to come in and check it out, by all means do so. You've got right now Boston and Miami are on. Miami playing the old school jerseys again tonight. That Miami Vice-ish look.
I'm having to wear sunglasses indoors here.
Yeah, that's a terrible look, by the way. you've got some other college hoops on here tonight as well. So NBA, college hoops. If you want to come out and just enjoy yourself, make it Club Paragon. Don't forget we are sponsored by our good friends over at Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. We talked a lot about the front office and the structure. Now we get down to the brass tacks of the team itself. What we saw this past weekend were teams that were not light years ahead of the Green Bay Packers on wild card weekend. They were just good enough to figure out a couple of ways to win. The Packers 5 to 7 plays maybe away from having a drastically different season, depending on how things would go. Some kicks, a couple of sacks that don't get penalized. The next thing you know, the Packers' record is 2 or 3 wins ahead of themselves, and then they're playing this past weekend. Now you move on. You've got, obviously, the New England Patriots, the Rams, the Saints, and the Chiefs. All are very good football teams. But how far away do you think, Kevin, I'll start with you, the Green Bay Packers are from not only getting back to the postseason, but being competitive enough to get out of wild card weekend? We're not going to talk about Super Bowls yet because I think that's 2 years away.
Right, yeah, and I think there's where you have to gauge where the next step could be. I think if it goes really well for them in this year, in this next 12 months, then they can be in that category with those teams that would be playing on the second weekend. If it goes anything other than really well, I still think they could be a team that plays in that first round. Because like you said, Mason Crosby makes a couple of kicks. You don't have the stuff with Clay. There's a little of this, a little of that. The dominoes fall a little differently. And would they have been as good as, say, the Ravens? I know that's an AFC team, but I think that's a great example, right? It's sure, they could be in that category. There's no question. You get a little bit of help in a couple of different positions, and they can take a jump right away. Watching these teams play on wild card weekend, I didn't see – I'll see if you guys agree with me on this. I didn't see a single team of the 8 that played in wild card weekend who was appreciably better than the 4 teams who were on bye. It looked to me like those 4 were in a completely different category than the 8 teams playing last week.
Right. Bart, how far ahead of the curve, we'll say, is – Drew Brees and company, Tom Brady and company, what they're doing out there in L.A. Remember, I mean, the Packers took L.A. Had it not been for a Ty Montgomery fumble, who knows what would have happened by the time it was all said and done. I mean, so how far ahead are those teams sitting there with the bye week away from Green Bay?
Yeah, you don't want to say too far because it wasn't just the Rams. It was New England and Seattle where they had – they were right there in the fourth quarter in all these games.
The Packers played a full 3 quarters of football all season long.
Right.
They just never played a fourth quarter.
They never did. And so you look at those games and say, well, I guess we're not that far away. But then you take – I take a team like Seattle, who I don't think is a good team. I don't think they're that good of a football team. I think they've got a lot of holes. I think they've got a lot of problems and a lot of issues. But what they're good at is scratching out a win. And so sometimes you can be a bad team but know how to win. And I think that was Seattle. And if you look at them, you look at the Vikings, who I don't think are a very good team. They've got talent, certainly. They've got some guys on offense that are very good. The defensive line, I think, is really good. But I think the secondary is a little overhyped, and their quarterback ain't no good, I don't think. So we're in a Northwoods bar, so I threw out the ain't no good.
Ain't no good, yeah, I got it.
I just wanted to feel at home. So I don't think they're that far away because I don't think the teams that are that we saw in Wild Card Weekend are necessarily that great. Now, if you put them to – how far away are you from being a team like the Chargers or the Bears, teams that had 11, 12 wins and still had to play this first weekend? If you put them, how far away are they from the Saints and Chiefs and Rams? There's a bigger gap there. I think that I think that for next season, when you start to look at what they're going to be, I think that 8-8 or 9-7 is probably where they will be. They could be 10-6 if things go right. The absolute floor for them should be like Aaron Rodgers' first year as a starter when they went 6-10 and just lost in a handful of comically bad ways.
Right.
That should be the floor. Any worse than that, you get rid of LaFleur because it ain't working. But if they're 6-10 and they lose in a bunch of weird ways and he's figuring stuff out, I think people will be mad, but it'll be forgiven at least for one more year. I think
this team needs to be 8-8 or better next year.
And to keep his job?
If they're losing games in a comically bad way, then he would be a one-hit wonder. Otherwise, this team needs to be 8-8 next year at the very minimum.
But if they're like in these games, I mean, this year was kind of comically bad with the Rams game, comically bad, the Vikings tie, comically bad.
If you have a healthy Aaron Rodgers, if you've got a decent offensive line, if you've got a wide receiving core that's not completely decimated, and a defense that's in the rebuild, you would assume your 8 wins with Aaron Rodgers staying healthy all season long.
You can lose games next year like the Rams game with the fumble.
Right.
You cannot lose games like the Redskins game or
right.
either Lions game.
Right.
You
or
can't have that outing
right,
next
right,
year.
Right.
You cannot. The Cardinals game.
Right.
Oh, my God, the Cardinals game.
No, you can't consistently be booed off the field at halftime by your hometown fans. Yeah.
No. You got to show growth.
That's franchise shifting when that happens. That's not just a loss. You know what I mean? That doesn't just affect you today. That's franchise shifting
right.
when that happens.
855-830-8648. If you want to chime in, feel free. If you got a question, go ahead and shoot it to us. We'd be glad to answer it. So how far away defensively, if they keep Mike Pettine, how much do you like the fact that they, one, do keep Mike Pettine, and secondly, with the growth of the young secondary, and then obviously you're going to get Kenny Clark back and Mike Daniels back, and you're going to be kind of sitting on some quality players with a lot of pieces to fill in. And to me, the biggest issue, I go to what Matt Nagy said after they beat the Packers in his postgame press conference. He said, one of the reasons we got to where we are is because of our depth. We got competition at every position. There's a lot of guys on this team that aren't playing regularly because that could be starting on other teams, but because we've got guys that are just as good, if not a tick better than them, but they have competition. I don't think you had a ton of competition on this team. You had starters and guys, and they need to get their depth better, which would then equal a better special teams unit overall. But with Mike Pettine staying, I'm optimistic that this defense gets better. The offense, I think, gets attributably better. And I just think they're going to be a better football team next year. Maybe just green and gold glasses, but I think they're going to be better next year.
I mean, they finished out that regular season with none of their defensive linemen from the start of the year. Nothing.
Right.
Like, not. It's not that one spot is gone. All of the spots were gone. So you automatically, you have this third of your defense that is all replacement level.
And that's the best third, the
it's
defensive
scary.
Line.
Scary, right?
And they're all gone.
Yeah, so then – and your linebackers and secondary certainly, as you say, don't have enough to compensate for that. We were learning names of guys every week the second half of the year, and I'm like, wait, Pleasant? Pleasant? Hang on.
35 misses the sack. 35, well, that's Demetri Goodson. Oh, wait, no.
No?
It's not.
I like the segment you guys did on the show that said, did I go to high school with this guy, or is he on the Green Bay Packers, you know? I mean, this guy was a banana.
Yeah.
You know?
We can play that later if you want.
I have no idea who that guy was, you know? And people didn't. You were bringing these guys in off the street. They were stocking store shelves and stuff earlier, you know, in the previous week. So that's where the Packers were at. They need to build the depth. The other thing, and some injuries, you know what, they're fluke. You break a leg.
Right.
You dislocate a shoulder, an arm, or an elbow, or whatever. That happens. You know, you tear a muscle. That happens. Some of this stuff, this –
groin, hamstring,
yeah,
pull.
Soft tissue stuff, something's got to give. I mean, we're going through it. Now, granted, everybody sustains injuries, but the Packers seem to be near the top 10 in injuries for the last 3, 4, maybe 5 years.
They seem to be infectious is the thing.
Yeah.
It seems like a hamstring pull is infectious in Green Bay, which is odd. And there's got to be – that can't just be a coincidence year in and year out, over and over. I would like to see Pettine – remain. I don't want to see the veterans that are, you know, the few, and most of them will be on the defensive line, but the guys that have been here with Capers, Pettine, and then a new I don't want to see 3 in 3 years, and I think that you did see growth. I think you did see improvement. Yes, there are still a lot of areas of concern, but we're banking on Antonio Morrison to have 12 tackles. We're banking on Tyler Lancaster to maybe have a sack. We're banking on, like you said, Eddie Pleasant and Tony Brown to be our top guys in the secondary. So once you, you know, find some guys in free agency or the draft that can play safety, the defensive line's good, get some more linebackers, figure out what you're going to do with Nick Perry, and keep it moving, keep it rolling, add to that depth. And I do want to see Pettine stay. It was interesting when LaFleur was asked about that, and he didn't say yes. I don't think that means no. I think that means just let me talk to the guy, and then you can have your story. I think that he'll be back. I'd be surprised if he won't.
He just, I think at that moment, he didn't want to let that be the thing.
Right.
Yeah, I get that. And I fully support, by the way, Pettine coming back. I support the idea
too.
That he and his core group of guys, when healthy, could be a difference maker.
People looked at Pettine and they said, well, look at the numbers. Well, he was numbers-wise statistically better. We wanted them to get to the top 15. They were in the top 12 for most of the season until the injuries crushed them at the end of the season. And they still ended up top 18, which they were 28th last year. So they did go up, and then you think to yourself, who do you do it with?
Yeah.
You know, they were 8th in the league in sacks.
That's crazy.
Right.
I mean, granted, they got healthy on bad teams, but that's what you're supposed to do. You know, I mean, they were 8th in the league in sacks. Going to go ahead and take a quick break. We are broadcasting live out here at Club Paragon, Highway 100 in Greenfield. Stop by, say hi, hang in there. We got a lot more of the Bill Michaels Huddle brought to you by Bud Light coming up right after this.
Border to border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
My philosophy is really to lead, teach, and inspire not only our football team, but everybody in this building. And we are going to be process-driven. And we are going to be process-driven in the pursuit of bringing a Lombardi Trophy back here to Green Bay.
Welcome back. Those are the words of Matt LaFleur, the new head coach of the Green Bay Packers. I'm Bill Michaels. It's the Bill Michaels Huddle. We are brought to you by our good friends at Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. And we have got to Bart Winkler from 105.7 FM, The Fan, which is getting a nice round of applause.
Woo!
Kevin Holden from CBS 58 is here as well. And as we get into about the next 10 minutes of the program before we start taking a look at the divisional weekend, talking about on-the-field stuff, let me ask you this. If we're going to run through the list of people you would build around or you would keep, you know, you can run through this. Bakhtiari?
Yeah.
I would.
Lane Taylor?
Yep.
Corey Linsley?
Yep. Yep.
Whoever's playing guard?
Yeah,
find somebody.
Do you want to keep Brian Bulaga?
I do.
You do?
You do?
I do.
Interesting.
As a backup or a starter?
Well, I mean, the knack on him is he always gets hurt, but when he's out there,
he's good.
He's good.
He's good. Now, speed rushers give him problems. The lateral movement isn't the same as what it once was.
Yeah. Well, hopefully, we have a coach that knows how to scheme around weaknesses and scheme to strengths.
Tight end position: Lance Kendricks, Mercedes Lewis, Jimmy Graham.
I mean, it would be nice
to
mention.
Lewis is done. I mean, yeah. Let's just write him off after what he said regarding Rodgers.
Yeah, that's that on that, right? But it would be nice to make a change, but also you've got money committed now. I kind of think you don't just because you have money. You have to tell Jimmy Graham, look, we've got money committed in you. You just got to be better. That's the improvement.
I look at Jimmy Graham's stats, and they're about in line with what I wanted them to be. Except for touchdowns,
right.
And he wasn't effective that I thought he would be in the
How
red
much
zone.
Was it, though, the knee?
And the blocking was poor.
Versus them throwing the ball to him.
Well, there were a lot of passes that he also couldn't catch that were right to him.
Well, he had a broken hand at the end of the season.
I would like to – I don't know if you give up on Jimmy Graham.
No.
And you owe him money, so
– You tell him, get out there, be you of a couple years ago.
And if after 3 weeks it ain't working, you know, maybe draft a guy. You have Tanyan. I mean, I don't know.
Does Tanyan then become the Mercedes Lewis of the bunch? Is he then in on the trio?
Yeah.
He can get open.
Yeah, I like Tanyan. So if Jimmy Graham, if you bring him back, he sucks for 3 weeks. All right, how's your hand feeling? Fine. Smash. How about now? IR for the season.
All right, well. I didn't realize it was the Guido of the Green Bay Packers, but nevertheless, okay, we can go along with that.
I'm just saying we don't know that much about Matt LaFleur here, guys.
So the backside is you've got a running game now that I think you can believe in. Jamal Williams certainly proved that he can carry the ball.
Yeah.
We know Aaron Jones can carry the football.
Definitely.
You're probably going to bring in one more running back just to bring somebody in, just because. So what else do you need offensively? Right side of the line, I think, okay, we're talking about a guard, maybe some depth. And then what? An additional wide receiver?
I'm not. Well, you have Allison back.
Geronimo's back. Devontae's back.
You have a year under MVS and EQ, and we'll see if Moore can do anything in the offseason. I'm not opposed to bringing Cobb back if it doesn't eat a big portion of the cap. But and, see, and you don't depend on him to be your two.
He's not a get-open guy. He's a comeback guy.
Yeah.
He's, when the play breaks down is when he's at his best. Otherwise, he's not a route runner. He's not a big
well,
apex downfield guy. So what are you going to do?
Room in his offense for that. Well, yeah.
So you're just throwing him out there as a slot and hoping
I'm
for
the talking like a fourth receiver.
But okay, the problem there is the money, which is to say, tell me somebody in the league isn't going to look at Cobb and say, you know, if he's healthy, he's worth $6 or $7 million, and then you got to not do that. Right?
Yeah, no, you're not going
to
pay him.
I thought Jordy was done, but he had a nice end of the season there. And
but Jordy got drugged down from behind two times on breakaway catches, something he had never done in the past.
Huh.
People were catching him.
Right. He was at least getting open better than he was in Green Bay. But he still got seven, and they're going to pay him another seven next year. Does Randall Cobb get seven from somebody?
I think he'll get six or seven from somebody.
So then that's too much for the Packers.
Yeah. I think that
decision's made. But you still, in my opinion, you can draft another guy. Now, you got another rookie running around out there. You're going to draft a guy. You may go after a wide receiver that's on the market and pay him $3-4 million and a veteran that then comes in.
Okay, would you trade for Antonio Brown?
Would I trade for him?
What would you trade for
What would I trade for him?
Because I got two ones. I don't think he's going to cost you two first-round picks.
Probably not.
Well, don't forget, he was a sixth-round draft choice because of the problems that they're having right now with him.
Right,
so he
but his
fallen over and over and over and over again. Now, he's stupid talented, but, again, he's
also just stupid.
He's a 10-cent head.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you add his production to the Packers this season. You take Antonio Brown this past season and add him to the Packers – that's two wins.
Here's the other question. This is something they're going to ask themselves. You bring a guy like Antonio Brown in, how much are you stifling the growth of Equanimeous St. Brown, of Marquez Valdes-Scantling, because you're going to go to him all the time. How much are you going to piss off Davante Adams if they suddenly having to start share the spotlight? And then where does Geronimo Allison
go? Oh, I think Adams would
welcome
it. You're going to take the number one off him, or the number one's going to be bouncing around.
Yeah, but then if you're not throwing the ball to Antonio Brown, what kind of problems you have? And is Matt LaFleur strong enough to handle that personality?
In year one.
Question. That's a good question.
It's year one.
I think winning solves everything, obviously. So if these guys are winning.
It's not like he isn't playing with a great quarterback. He's been playing with Ben Roethlisberger, a guy you can't bring down who can extend plays as well as anybody.
I mean, if I would be more than satisfied if the Packers traded for Antonio Brown.
I think talent-wise, he's out of this world. But I don't know about the 10-cent head that comes on the shoulders.
But a lot of those problems, I feel, have been recent.
Correct. But he has been outspoken in the past. It's just that when you're winning, it doesn't matter. It's him being competitive.
Now, he also saw his teammate and his friend, Le'Veon Bell, do the same thing.
Right. But he also had his agent call to say, oh, okay, he's okay today. He can play.
Yeah.
As if he's getting a written note from mom. You don't do that.
That's bad.
You man up. You man up and make a phone call or just show up.
If I'm Aaron Rodgers and I've got a rejuvenated Jimmy Graham, Davante Adams, Antonio Brown, Aaron Jones, I'm not winning any less than 9 games. I mean, if I've got that offense.
I mean, I'm with you. I think I'd do it. But I also think that it is either the risk-reward is going to be you're either going to win it all or you're going to implode. And you're going to blow this thing sky high, and then you were even further back than where you started.
And the truth is, if you could find an Antonio Brown that played linebacker or defensive line or secondary, that'd be much more important.
Yeah. If you build, and the other thing is that we're forgetting about is you got to build the defense.
Yeah.
You got to get this – for this team to be successful, we've seen it now how many times, this defense has to get near top 10. Look at what – just look at what the Colts did. They fortified the offensive line for Andrew Luck, and then they went out and found themselves a defense.
Yeah, good D-line.
Good D-line.
A lot of good young, no-name guys that are contributing big time.
Yep. They went out and fortified that offensive line for him, and they said, look, we know you've gotten a hell beat out of you over the last couple of years. We're going to go ahead and give you a much better line. They drafted two guys. They got that Quentin Nelson and that Braden Smith. Now, Nelson just came in as a guard and completely anchored that whole right side of the offensive line.
Nelson flattens dudes, and that was
he lifts them up and flattens dudes.
They draft a guard top 10, and you're like, well, that's no fun. But now the Colts are in the divisional round, and many people are taking them to beat the Chiefs.
I'm a big believer always in the trenches. you can protect the quarterback and get to the quarterback. Those are the two biggest things you can possibly do.
Yeah.
I mean, look at the, look. It's back. Goes back to the year that when they were going to take Johnny Manziel, and literally they had to tackle Jerry Jones to say, no, we're not. We're not going to take that train wreck. And they ended up going with Zach Martin.
Yeah.
They solidified that offensive line. They've never been the same since. They've been a much, much better team because they've been able to protect the quarterback. To me, it all starts up front. That's where I would
go. Well, the Packers have that on the D-line.
They need one more guy. Montrevious Adams has not developed. Is Kyler Fackrell that guy?
Well,
you know?
Right now, you've got two of your top 10 players on the D-line? Your top 10?
Yeah, you need more, though.
But so the D-line and the offensive line, you've got how many of your top 10?
But you're going to get, unless Clay Matthews comes back and plays just the middle and just in certain downs, you've got to find an outside pass rusher, another inside linebacker, unless Oren Burks suddenly has an epiphany. And then you got to figure out which milk carton you're going to find Nick Perry on. And are you going to actually cut the milk carton out and throw it away? Or are you going to actually hang on to it and see if he doesn't reappear?
It goes, I think. I don't know if you can wait to do that now with the amount of money invested. No, I don't think you can.
Well, they got rid of Nick Perry last year, didn't they?
Yeah.
Kind of, yeah.
He was on the roster last year? He played in games, you're telling me, right? Perry is still on this roster.
He was there.
You are telling me. Wow.
I watched Nick Perry
during
training camp when he was rehabbing, and he had to come out and go through drills and doing rehab stuff. And it would be where he would tell the guy working with him where to go so he could make a play. And then when they got done, that was when the coaches were looking. And then when the coaches went off and started doing other things, he'd sit there and do nothing. Lean up a tackling dummy and just sit there and talk. It's like, what are you doing? What are they paying you to do? There was no go get them work ethic. He had become the Cletus Hunt of this era's Green Bay Packers.
Ugh.
Let's do this. We're going to go and take a quick break. So we agree that this team needs talent. We agree that they need to build in the trenches. Now we have to see if we agree upon the schedule this weekend. Colts and Chiefs, Cowboys and Rams, Chargers and Patriots, Eagles and Saints. We'll break down the divisional round coming up next on the Bill Michaels Huddle, brought to you by Bud Light.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
I did have the opportunity to talk to Aaron, and I'll tell you what, I cannot wait to, you know, get to work with him. I think he's equally as excited, and there's a lot of work to be done in front of us, but, you know, just looking forward to that opportunity.
Welcome back. Those are the words of Matt LaFleur, as yesterday he spoke to the media and addressed basically the fans for the very first time as the new head coach of the Green Bay Packers. We are broadcasting live, Club Paragon, Highway 100 here in Greenfield. I'm alongside Kevin Holden from CBS 58. Also, Bart Winkler from our flagship station out of Milwaukee, 105.7 FM, The Fan. And now we look at the divisional round as we get into the weekend coming up on Saturday, 3:35 Central Time. Those Indianapolis Colts that really went in and kind of shocked the Houston Texans early on in that ball game. They go into Arrowhead now and see if they can't do the same to the Kansas City Chiefs. And the Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes and his 50-plus touchdowns and everything that he did this year and just, you know, in an amazing, amazing season. The Chiefs are just kind of laying in wait right now. If I'm a Colts fan, and I've said this all week, man, I am really bothered by the fact that my team didn't put any points up on in the second half of that ball game.
A little bit.
21-0 at half, 21-0 at half, and you thought, okay, they're going to roll. It's going to end up 40-something, and nary a point put up by the Colts after that, and ended up getting close down the stretch when Deshaun Watson finally started hitting a few wide receivers. But nonetheless, it was the Colts defense that really kind of won that ball game and kept the Houston Texans stymied for most of that ball game.
And the honest truth is that after that first half, I'm thinking, man, you the Chiefs are probably watching this and going, oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Right.
But one of the advantages, I think, that a team has when they have a week off, one of the biggest advantages, the rest is obviously number one. After beating your body up for 17 weeks, you get to take a week and just not do anything physical if you don't want to. That helps. The other help is that you get the truest possible game tape on your opponent. They play a playoff game.
Right.
There's nothing they can hide. They have to win this game or their season is over, and you get to see them for a full game of game tape. And this might be the one case more than others where the Chiefs saw second-half Colts and spent the whole week studying that and trying to exploit it.
I got all my picks wrong last weekend, so take whatever I say with a grain of salt.
I got
usual.
One right.
Yeah, I was.
Yeah.
Well, I pushed on the Cowboys.
Okay.
I'm talking against the spread. And I thought the Bears would win, and I thought all that stuff. I like the Chiefs in this one, and I know that there's been the Andy Reid in the playoffs, and they keep losing at home in the playoffs. But a lot of people are in on the Colts. The Colts have had a really nice run here. They're getting a lot of attention. We haven't seen Patrick Mahomes yet start a playoff game, and I'm excited to see what he can do. Now, there might be some snow in the forecast, but
that would be great.
I like the Chiefs in this one to have a dominating performance at home. Again, I got them all wrong last week, so whatever. But I think that we get infatuated with these teams that we see and forget about the teams that are off and forget about how good they are. Patrick Mahomes is your MVP. We haven't seen him, like I said, start a playoff game. I like Kansas City.
The only quarterback with experience that lost last week was Russell Wilson.
Now, that's true.
Every young quarterback lost
last
week.
And I bet on all of them.
You did?
Oh, yeah. Bad weekend.
That's why Bart was, like, asking for...
But now here I am taking a young quarterback against Andrew Luck.
For that purpose, that's the reason I am not taking the Chiefs.
Going Colts.
I'm going Colts on the road. Not that Andrew Luck has a ton of wins in the postseason, so to speak, but he's a little more savvy, a little more veteran, worked a long time to get back to where he is. They solidified that offensive line. The Chiefs have a pretty good defense, not a great one. It can be exploited. Going back to what you said, Kevin, I think they're going to see what the Texans did. They disguised a lot of blitzes, brought a lot of different pressures, a lot of delayed blitzes and such. And I think the Colts are going to get that fixed. I'm going to take the Colts in this one in a thin one on the road at Arrowhead.
Yeah, I'm going Chiefs and probably will end up regretting that by the time it's over with. But there's – honestly, the Colts were the one team remaining in the AFC that I thought had the best chance to beat the Chiefs. I actually think the Chiefs, if the pairings were anything else in the AFC, I think they – would be an easy pick over the Chargers and even the Patriots. So I'm going to pick them over the Colts, too.
The next game on the docket coming on Saturday, the Cowboys on the road taking on the Rams. Again, Dak Prescott, the younger quarterback that beat the veteran Russell Wilson, the only quarterback to win of a younger ilk, an inexperienced ilk last weekend. He now goes into L.A., and here's where the pressure is. Now, think of this. Everybody's wanting to pluck the next Sean McVay out of there. They're trying to go to the, quote, Sean McVay tree for whatever reason. Sean McVay's got to win, or otherwise you're plucking a tree that doesn't have a postseason win.
Wow.
And they'd be 0-2 and at least a touchdown favorite in each of those games, like I think they are right now against Dallas. I think the line is
7.
Dallas's defense took over in that ball game. They really kind of ruled the day when it came to putting pressure on Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson was running for his life all day. And the Rams have looked bad down the stretch. I'm taking the road team in this one. I'm taking the Cowboys to get the upset.
Well, you stole my thunder there, Bill.
Thank you very much.
I like the Cowboys in this one. The Rams are a very good football team, and Sean McVay is a very, very good coach. And this whole with LaFleur, and if Zach Thomas does go to Cincinnati and all these guys that are on his coaching tree, it's been very weird that everything's pointing to Sean McVay when it should be pointing to Mike Shanahan.
Yeah.
Or even Kyle Shanahan, yeah, his son. Sean McVay has not been in the league long enough to have a Sean McVay coaching tree. He is just a branch off the Mike Shanahan coaching tree. And so when all these guys are getting plucked, I mean, doing research on LaFleur, I had not known that Sean McVay was the tight ends coach in Washington for 4 years with Kyle Shanahan and Matt LaFleur all there at the same time. And if you're a Redskins fan and you look at, we had all these guys, why did we suck so bad? But I just, it's all Mike Shanahan and Kyle Shanahan in San Francisco. I think that that's who we should be talking about. All these jokes about, yeah, I saw Sean McVay on an elevator once, can I be a coach? I don't like that. I don't know why it's all pointing towards Sean McVay, and it's only going to get worse once the Rams lose this weekend to the Cowboys. I love Ezekiel Elliott as a runner with that line. The defense is good. Dak Prescott cannot be overlooked. Amari Cooper, we all laughed at the first-round pick. That was a tremendous trade for them.
He's paid off big for them. Big catches next last week.
I like the Cowboys in this game. I do. I'm with you.
I think the fact that they're going to L.A. means Jerry can park that yacht in the port of L.A. and there's going to be one hell of a party as they kind of kind of sail back around and down in towards wherever the hell you can park one over by Dallas.
So once again, I'm going to be the lone dude, right?
Well, again, I was winless last weekend.
Because the one thing that the Rams have, and the McVay thing is absolutely valid, right? That tree has not had time to grow. It's not that far out of the ground yet. But the thing that is there for the Rams that's not there for anybody else is Todd Gurley. I mean, Gurley is the problems that he presents for a defense, not just in one way, but in several ways.
He is back practicing this week, too, by the way.
That's big. That's going to be significant. So you have a percentage there of Gurley, then you've got something to work with. And, again, the advantage of not playing.
The Cowboys shut down the number one rushing offense in the league in the Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah, they
– and
the Rams, they should win. The Rams should win.
They should win.
And they should cover. They've got a better receiving core. Gurley, you give him the edge over Elliott. Elliott's a top five back for sure.
Oh, yeah.
But Gurley maybe is more effective in the passing game. But they should win. The Rams really should win. But I do think there is something about this Cowboys team. I don't know why I'm getting sucked into them as hard as I am. But I just think they're going to go in there and get the win.
So Rams for me.
You got the Rams.
Yeah.
I got the Cowboys. I'm going with the Colts on the road, the Cowboys on the road. When we come back, we'll get into the AFC and the Chargers and the Patriots, also the Eagles and the Saints. Two more games coming up. Those games are Sunday games. Hang out. We are broadcasting live out here at Club Paragon, Highway 100 in Greenfield. Say hi. There's more than six or seven people in this place now. It's rocking in here. Come on by and say hi. We are brought to you by Bud Light. We'll be back right after this.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
It was incredible. Matter of fact, my wife and I were driving to pick my kids up from school, and I thought we were going to get in a car accident. She was at the wheel.
He's already blaming somebody else.
So, no, it was incredible. When I tell you I was speechless, I was speechless because there's just so much tradition here, and I can't think of a greater place to be a head coach in this league. And really, in all sports,
those are the words of Matt LaFleur as yesterday meets with the media for the very first time, talks about getting the phone call that the announcement was made. He is going to be the next head coach of the Green Bay Packers. And he and his wife driving to get the kids from school, and then you get that phone call. And oh, by the way, you're going to make anywhere from $5 to $6, maybe $7 million, and your life just changed dramatically. And yeah, I can imagine getting that kind of a phone call. I wouldn't mind getting something like that. Not that I'm going to go out and buy a Jerry Jones yacht or anything, but certainly you're going to maybe upgrade your vehicle depending on what they're driving at the time. We are broadcasting live Club Paragon here on Highway 100. Kevin Holden from CBS 58 alongside also Bart Winkler from 105.7 FM, The Fan, here in Milwaukee, our flagship station here tonight as well. Now we get into the divisional rounds and the Sunday games. You got two of them. The noon start, 12:05. Chargers on the road taking on the Patriots. I got to tell you, I like the Chargers. I like their defense. I do not like the fact that they had to go from L.A. to Baltimore, back to L.A., now back to Gillette Stadium up in New England and Foxborough. That's a ton of travel.
Chargers have won every game outside of California this season.
Yeah, they haven't lost on the road.
They're basically a road team in their own stadium.
Well, that's because their stadium's an inflatable.
The thing I keep looking at, though, I want to take the Chargers. I think that defense against old Brady, old Gronk, I really like their defense. I am going to take the Chargers, but Phillip Rivers is 0-7 against Tom Brady. So, how do you pick against the Patriots at home in the divisional round? I mean, the Tuck rule. Things happen where the Patriots win these games. And this, finally, they're not playing like the Tim Tebow Broncos. They're not playing the TJ Field Yates, whoever the hell his name is, Texans. They're playing Phillip Rivers and the Chargers. I'm going to take the Chargers to go in there in a close one and knock off New England.
29 degrees, partly cloudy, very little wind on Sunday.
Oh, so a non-factor.
A non-factor weather-wise.
Yeah, I like the Chargers. I think that their defense and their speed, guys like Derwin James, the Patriots, I just think, are too old for this matchup.
Field Yates.
TJ Yates? Field Yates?
Field Yates. He just dropped A Field Yates reference.
Field Yates.
That's the
22-year-old draft Nick.
Oh, no. I'm thinking of
T.J. Yates was a quarterback.
No,
Are you thinking of Kirby Yates?
No, I'm thinking of Marty Smith, the guy on ESPN with the huge southern drawl.
Yeah.
The one that used to just cover NASCAR.
He's got the very big head. He reminds me of Boomhauer off of off of Hank Hill's program.
Devil Sweeney, national championship.
Marty is the most stereotypical television thing that is. They always say about TV people that they have gigantic heads, not like a physical thing, not a ego thing. And he is that. Tom Brady is that. But the thing about playing at home, the thing about playing with what he has had for all of these years, I still don't think the Patriots are the same team that they were even a couple years ago, but I think they're good enough to pull off a win here.
855-830-8648. If you want to chime in and give us a pick or tell us we're idiots, feel free to do so. Just an FYI, I got a couple people on Twitter that are saying, are you guys crazy? Do you think the Rams are going to lose at home? I do. They side with you, happen to be on Kevin. In the meantime, you got the Eagles. They're on the road taking on the Saints. The Eagles, the benefactor of the double doink. They did come back. Nick Foles has done nothing but win. Every time he gets the opportunity, he's done nothing but win. There is something going on with the Saints. They've had that resurgence. The interesting thing is that we talk about the Saints and Sean Payton getting hired down in New Orleans, and then that coexistence between the two versus what Mike McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers has gone through, and the fact that they didn't coexist by the end of the tenure for Mike McCarthy's tenure here in Green Bay. Drew Brees just wins. They had a couple of 7-9 seasons. They went through the aftermath of Bounty Gate. And I've said it all along. Why did Sean Payton hang on to his job? And I hate to say it, but Hurricane Katrina. Yeah. He really established himself in that community when Hurricane Katrina went through. Him and Drew Brees were going around in boats helping people. And there's a lot of people that never forgot that. And they gave them a pass. They said, these are good guys. They'll figure it out. Their fans gave them time to do it. They were a part of that Who Dat Nation. And it's paid off because they've stayed strong together. They've got a great relationship between the two. And I like his motives this week to bring in $250,000 in cash. And did you read this?
No.
He brought in Sean Payton yesterday when the guys got to the practice facility. And in the middle of the meeting room, they have a circular meeting room. The middle of the room was $250,000 in cash, the Super Bowl trophy, and a Super Bowl ring.
Yeah.
And he let everybody come up and touch it. And he said, this is what you're playing for. Look around the room and look at each other, and then this is what you're playing for.
In the report,
never take your eye off the prize.
He said, you guys want this? Win 3 effing games.
Right?
Yeah. That's
and
it.
I like the Saints in this one. I like that story. The Eagles thing, Nick Foles, how he keeps winning over and over is awesome. It's fun. But the Saints are a really good football team. And
which is a far cry.
Get them at home.
Who was that? Dave Wannstedt. When they were playing in Chicago, he put mousetraps all over everybody's seat when they walked in. So if you sat down, you got snapped by a mousetrap, and he hung a giant one in the middle of the locker room to remind them that it wasn't a trap game.
Ooh, that's a little too on the nose.
Yeah.
What motivates humans? Money.
Yes.
Bring in money.
Remember Jackie Sherrill? Remember what he did?
What'd he do?
That was they were playing Texas, and he brought in a steer and –
Oh yeah!
Didn't go out the same way he came
yes,
in.
Yes, yes, I do remember that. That's what we're going to do is take this from them. And there is no yin and your yang anymore. Ticking your
Bart is stunned. You don't remember that?
There could be kids listening to this.
Well,
Mark Murphy took care of that yesterday.
They would understand what is going on. That there was a really weird feast after the fact.
Indeed.
So, as much as I want to think the Eagles are going to continue to win, I think this is where that their championship reign comes to an end. I think the Saints right now are just too strong. I think that dome is going to be off the hook. I'm looking forward to this game on Sunday afternoon. It's the late game.
It's the
3:40 game. I'm taking a
Saints. I love the Saints so much, I'm going to scream Willie Rolfe tonight during.
Bill, this is.
And pull out a cell phone?
Yeah. Under the pillow.
This is like those sitcoms that go one season too long, and the last season they're just grasping at anything. No, I'm totally going Saints here. And by the way, if I could pick one of these games to go to, that would be the one. You're totally right about that atmosphere, the fans, the music. It's amazing.
Yeah, don't take a selfie, Bart.
God, no.
Don't take a selfie.
God, no.
So that's it. I've got the Colts, I've got the Cowboys, I've got the Patriots, and I've got the Saints. Two home teams on Sunday, two traveling teams on Saturday. That's the way it ends up. All right, are you with me back at Maddie's next week or the New Berlin House the week after that?
I'm in Cancun, so.
Are you? Yeah. Well, then you're not going to be doing a show. I don't blame you.
I don't want to see you again until the fall.
There you go. Oh, it's been a great time hanging out here at Club Paragon. Thanks to the staff and management. Make sure you tip everybody out here. They do such a great job. Thanks to our friends at Bud Light for being a part of the program and the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michael Sports Talk Network. Thanks to Kevin Holden from CBS 58, Bart Winkler from our flagship station, 105.7 FM, the Fan out of Milwaukee. It is time for us to go. Everybody, hopefully have a good night. Should be a good weekend of football as well. Until then, have a good one. See you.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.